Our scripture lesson this morning comes from both the New and the Old Testament, from Hebrews 11, verse 6, and from Psalms, the 90th chapter, verses 1 through 5. In the book of Hebrews, we read, "And without fault, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And from Psalm 90, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man back to the dust and sayest, turn back, O children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou dost sweep men away, they are like a dream, like grass which is renewed in the morning." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a little boy who was at the beach, and he was carrying a big blow-up beach ball, and he had a towel over his shoulder. And he's walking along the beach, and he sees this lady who's sunbathing, and he stops right over her, and he says, "Excuse me, do you believe in God?" And she looks up at him and says, "Why, yes, I do." And she's thinking in her mind, that's a strange question. And then he says, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And again, she says, "Yes, I do," wondering what's going on. He says, "Do you go to church? Do you pray?" She said, "Yes." Those might seem like strange questions for a little boy on the beach to ask a stranger that he doesn't know, but they are familiar questions when it comes to the history of our church. They've been questions that have been asked for more than 1,300 years. And today, on the first Sunday of Lent, I want to begin a look at what we call the Apostles' Creed. And let me first of all just start with the definition or the words that are involved in there, Apostles' Creed. When we start with an apostle is just like a disciple. And that's someone who's learned from their teacher, like the disciples of Jesus. But the difference between an apostle and a disciple is that apostles are sent out to pass that teaching on to others. So they go and they teach others what they've learned. And then creed. Creed comes from the word credo, which is from Latin, meaning "I believe." Can you say that with me? I believe. It's a base word for words like credible, right? Which means it's something that's believable, or also incredible, which means it's unbelievable. So the Apostles' Creeds are the teachings that we believe, and they're passed down from Jesus' disciples. And historically, a person would say the creed right as they were being baptized. So you need to have in your mind an image of a person standing with the pastor or the priest, and they're about to either immerse them into the water or pour the water on them or sprinkle or lay the hands with the water, and they ask them the question, "Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?" And they would reply, "Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Some of us were baptized as infants. I was baptized when I was, I believe, 13 years old. And I remember it very clearly. My dad was my pastor, and I was baptized by immersion. And so my dad had me in the water, and he had me in his arms. And I had been in my father's arms 100 times before. I had been in the water hundreds of times before. But instinctively, I knew that there was something different about this time. I knew that this was a very serious time, and I knew it was a matter of life and death. My Father asked me questions and I answered. And then I remember my Father taking me under the water and holding me. Now, in my memory, He held me down there a little extra long. I'm just saying, it seemed like I was down there forever. He finally brought me up, and the people were there, and I mean, it was a serious moment for me. And I remember afterwards, I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, why did you keep me under the water for so long?" And jokingly, he said, "I wanted to make sure it took." So, Our baptism is a serious thing. It is a matter of life and death. Just think about the price that the apostles paid for their faith. Just think about the price that the early Christians paid during the first 300 years of Christianity. Some sold their property and gave it to the poor. Some were chased out of town, imprisoned, crucified, fed to lions, burned at the stake, shot with arrows, stoned to death. When you consider the price that many paid, you realize that to say, "I believe," is more than just a statement, it's a commitment. I stake my life on what I am about to declare. So that's what the Apostles' Creed has its base in, and that's what it means to us today. And I want to share with you that the Apostles' Creed is important for us today to look at for three reasons. And here they are. First of all, it connects us to the early Christian church. Secondly, it's short. We can learn it, and we can remember it. And I love the questions that Tanisha was asking of the kids. What does it mean to you to be a Christian? You know, it's something that we can go back and I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the church. We can go through the list in our minds knowing that this isn't just what we've believed, but that has been passed down to us from the disciples of Jesus. They have staked their lives on these things. The last thing, it's important to know what you believe. There are three questions in the creed. How many of you like taking exams? I actually do. All the online, if you go and you see an online quiz, and I always take those. I've always enjoyed taking quizzes. I remember I heard a story about two football players who did not have the grades to play in the big football game. And so they asked, "Is there any way possible we could take one more examination to maybe earn our eligibility?" And the coach said, "You know what? I think I can work something out." So these two big football players go into this special room and take a test for their eligibility. And it's only got one question. And the question was, "Old MacDonald had a blank." So the first football player leans over to the second and says, "What's the answer to the question?" The second one said, "It's a farm. Stupid, come on. Old MacDonald had a farm." First guy said, Oh, yeah. Old MacDonald had a farm." And he says, "How do you spell it?" He said, "E-I-E-I-O. Stupid, come on." The creed is an examination, but let me assure you, you don't fail the test if we don't know all the answers. You don't fail the test if you can't fully explain it. You don't have to have all the answers and all the knowledge, but it is an important part that first two words are in Latin, that one, credo, I believe. Even though I don't understand, even though there's still mystery involved in it, I believe what's been passed down to me. Take, for an example, a chair. I don't have to have all the information or knowledge about it. I don't have to know if it was stapled or glued or screwed together. I just have to have faith enough to sit in it, right? I had a professor in college, religion professor, and my professor knew a lot my professor wrote books and articles and lectured, and he was a professor. He had a lot of knowledge. But can I tell you something? My great-grandmother, who never finished high school, knew more about God than my professor. And here's the reason. My great-grandmother believed. He was an academic. He could tell you all this stuff. He could tell you anything you wanted to about the history of it, but he did not believe. It reminds me of a story I heard about a professor as well as a person who was sharing about Psalms 23. And the professor first gets up and he talks about it, and he talks about how important it is, this and that and the other. And the other person just comes and recites it, and recites it with the love that was in his heart. And the professor says, you know what? I know a lot about Psalms 23, but that person knows the shepherd. And I think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about more than just having the right answers, but about having the relationship with God. The first question is this: do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Would you read that with me? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? The first question doesn't ask, do you believe in God? See, a lot of people will tell you they believe in God, but they've got no relationship with this God. They've got no trust in this God. But the first statement says, I believe in God the Father. And right at the beginning, it establishes a relationship that we have with God. It's not just someone out there like the agnostics believe that God is a clockmaker God who just made the universe, wound it up, and then just left it. There's no relationship with that God, but that this is a God who knows us and cares about us. Now, a lot of people get hung up on the image of Father because not all of us have had good relationships with our fathers. Not everyone has been treated well by their father. And so, for some, the word father does not carry the meaning it is intended to. Well, let me say two things. First of all, God is our father at God's best and not at our worst. God is father at God's best, at God's highest, at God's greatest, and not at our lowest. So to judge God by our lowest, our worst, is not fair. When it says that God is our Father, it's all the best attributes of our relationship, of what God is to us, of how a father should be with us. Don't let human neglect steal the joy of a relationship we have with God. And here's the second thing I want to say. God is more than just male. In the Bible, there are many female descriptions of God. So we are right to say God is our mother. Jesus speaks for God when he says this in Matthew 23:37. How often I've longed to gather you children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. So when we say, I believe in God the Father, you're not saying, I believe that God is male and not female. What you're saying is, I believe in God who loves me. And if I can just make a side note here, if God is our Father, if God is our mother, then that makes us what? Brothers and sisters. And again, as we look at this relationship that we're describing, it's a relationship where we are loved, we are nurtured, we are called to be obedient to our God as mother, our God as father, but we are also supposed to love each other as brothers and sisters. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples: they will know that you are my disciples as you love one another. The second thing that it says is this: I believe in God the Father, and then the next word is what? Almighty. When I think of Almighty, I think of words like omniscient, which means all-knowing, or omnipotent, which is all-powerful, or omnipresent, which means everywhere at all times. And all those words describe a God who is powerful and not just powerful, though, who is also loving. It's one who is powerful, but is also worthy to be praised. And here's the reason why I say that. I say that because God knows us best because God made us, but God also knows us best because God loves us best. And one of the things that I shared with my mother-in-law just yesterday, she's in the hospital, I said, you know, everybody who's in this room with you loves you. We love you. We love the time. We love you. But there is someone who is here who loves you greater than we do, and that's God. And I think that in life, in death, and in life after death, we have to remember that God is present with us and that God loves us and God knows us better than anyone else. Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." God is not just powerful, God is good. And we celebrate the goodness of God in this church when we say it like this. I say, God is good, and you say, all the time. And I say, all the time, God is good. We celebrate that we don't just believe in God. We don't just believe in God the Father, but we believe in God the Father Almighty. When I was thinking about how to share this, I thought about my dog, Bella. My dog, Bella, is older now, but I remember when we first got her, she was very young, and I was very young as a master. I hadn't had a dog before, and so I wanted to be a good master, right? And so I remember one of our very first meals, Bella is behind me at the chair, and she would always be right by me. And so Bella is looking at me, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I speak dog. I know what this dog wants. I absolutely know that this dog wants a piece of chicken. You know, it was kind of cool how she was letting me know she wanted some chicken. And it was also cool how Bella, my dog, knew that Sharon didn't want me to give her chicken. So Bella was telling me on the side tip, like, you know, hey, I know I'm not allowed to have any chicken, but can I have some chicken? And Sharon doesn't have to know about it. So I tear off a little piece of chicken, and Bella's like right behind me. And I give this big, juicy piece of chicken to Bella, and Bella gobbles it up. And again, I know exactly what she's thinking. The way she's gobbling it and licking at my fingers, she's saying, thank you, thank you. And my wife asked me, are you giving that dog some chicken? I said, no, I'm not giving that dog no any chicken. Well, guess what happens? As soon as that dog licks my fingers and says thank you, bleh, she throws up the chicken all on the floor. Well, guess what? I knew what the dog wanted, but I didn't know what the dog needed. See, there's a huge difference. There's a lot of people who might say, oh, I know what Joe Johnson wants, or I know what Miss Linda wants. I know what they want, but there's a difference between knowing what they need. And we serve a God who knows what we need. And I think that that's a great joy, because if God only gave me everything that I wanted, it would not be good for me. I would not be where I am. I would not have the relationships that I do right now. And I think that we need to celebrate that God doesn't always give us what we want, but God provides for us what we need. The last part of the statement of our faith is this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I love the song, How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing it as we close today, but I want to just share with you the words of it and have us say it together. O Lord my God, when I in what? Awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. A person who's never heard about God can realize that there must be a God because of the world that God has created. If a person walked into my house, even if they've never heard of me, never seen me, they can look at my house and they can know some things about me. They know that I have three kids. They know that I have a wife. They went in the garage. They know I like to play ping pong. If they looked in the refrigerator, they know I love cheesecake. In the same way, the wonder and the awe of this world tell us of our Creator. And let me ask this question. Does your life tell others about a love of God? Are others able to look at you, to read your Facebook posts and know something about a God that they do not know? Are others able to examine the way that you relate and talk to others and how you care for others and know something about the God that we say we serve? And here's the reason why I think it's important, is because when we say the creed, we're not just saying what I believe, we're saying this is what affects my life, and this is the direction that I'm going to follow. It's not just something that we believe about God, but we are allowing Jesus Christ to lead and guide our lives. A young lady was sunbathing at the beach, and little boy came up and he had a towel on his shoulder and a big beach ball. And he stops right in front of her and he says, "Ma'am, do you believe in God?" And she says, "Yes, I do." He says, do you believe in Jesus Christ?" He says, "Yes, I do." "Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" "Yes, I do." Do you go to church and do you pray?" And she was very curious and she said, "Yes, but why are you asking all those things?" And he says, yes, on all of those, yes. "Well, I was just wondering, would you hold my money while I go swimming?" See, the creeds don't just tell us what we believe. They tell us whose we are and who we are. Amen? Amen.